Fan Morning Show, Sports 95.9 The Fan. Happy Friday. The Jays back in action. Your little vacation from watching the Blue Jays is over. Okay, get back in the grind. Barrios on the mound. Let's go. Let's get gritty. Let's watch those Blue Jays. Maybe the days of rest help them out. I wonder if our next guest got any rest or he's just finding narratives like us to explore. Our Insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com, Arden's Welling, at the Letters Podcast, our Sportsnet, everything. Good morning, Arden.
Good morning, everybody. What's going on?
It's good. We're back. Blue Jays are back. A couple days off. Do you get any time off, or are you just grinding?
Oh, I mean, I know that 2 days without a game isn't great for people who do what you do, but for people who do what I do, it was like a vacation. Those 48 hours, it was wonderful. I had a beer in the afternoon.
Wow.
I sat around outdoors at like 7:30 p.m. not working. I saw loved ones. It was beautiful.
I wouldn't know what any of that feels like.
Yeah. And I have never had a beer in the afternoon and then done work later. Never.
No,
I would just
done.
Like to put that on the record here for work, that is what I've always been doing. I'm happy for you. I'm happy for all of the Blue Jays media that basically got a second All-Star break. Okay, so, but tonight, they're back. You're back. You're watching these games. I just want to start with this. Do you have any theory with the Barrios thing? Because, yeah, I kind of, like, I got in a bit of a disagreement yesterday with Blake about it, where it's like, hey, okay, yeah, he's had success in other stadiums before. But this is enough of a thing now this year where I look at it and go, it feels like more than an aberration. I wonder what you make of it. I think it's over 7 on the road and around 3-something at home.
Yeah, I just can't find the logical reason why that would be, right? Like, so I probably side with Blake on this one, in that, like, it's just sort of small sample statistical noisiness. Like, I think it's just weirdness. I think it's just a coincidence that that's happening. I think it's much more likely that it's a mechanical issue with him, and it's something about the way the ball's coming out of his hand. It's something about what he's doing on the mound and his release point. And it just so happens that a lot of the times when those things haven't been synced up and haven't been right, Jose Barrios has been on the road. Like, I would point more towards, like, the process of what he's doing and how he's feeling and how he's actually performing on the mound, rather than, like, the environs around him.
Okay, so with that, right, like, you're somebody who loves to do the deep dive reporting, and I know that pitching is a special fascination with you. What do you think is happening with him? Because, like, no one's even really all that upset about Barrios this year. Like, when it comes to Blue Jays storylines this year, right, like, everyone's been so mad about Kikuchi, and there have been real moments of frustration with Bo. There have been real moments of frustration with Vladdy. Obviously, there was a lot of anger pointed towards Charlie Montoya before he was let go. There's been a ton towards the front office since the deadline, and I kind of feel like Barrios has fallen in this pocket of fans haven't been overly pissed about the results, because we all had the same take. This was a great trade. This was a great contract. This was a no-brainer. Even now, you look at the trade and go, this isn't haunting you yet. It doesn't look like it's going to. And even the signing, I think that a lot of us, myself included, still stand on this island of, yeah, it doesn't look very good right now, and it's a little spooky when you're projecting forward a lot of years and this is the results early on, but you'd still do it. So what is happening here, and, like, where is your level of confidence that they're going to be able to correct those mechanical issues?
Well, I think you're right that, like, if you say Kikuchi, if that had worked out and he was just humming along as even a league average starter,
yeah,
there'd
be
a lot more.
Yeah,
there'd be a lot more oxygen for Jose Barrios' struggles this year. I think it's obviously been weird to everybody from the outside, and I think it's been weird to those on the inside as well, that Barrios keeps sort of regressing. Every time he seems to find it, he falls back into what was going wrong for him. And there's been a number of mechanical tweaks that the Blue Jays have tried throughout the year. You've seen him move on the mound. You've seen his release point move around. You've seen him do some different stuff in his windup and his pitching motion. And it's just every time he seems to find the solution, and every time the Blue Jays feel like, all right, we got it, this is what it was, he's back to being Jose Barrios, there is a regression that comes. I mean, even after the end of July, I thought, all right, he's good. Like, he sorted it out. You look at the July numbers and you look at those starts. I mean, very legit results, really good success on the mound, looked like the old guy again. And then he goes out at Target Field a week ago and fell back into what was going on earlier this year. So I think it's a little bit maddening for everybody involved. But like when I watch a Jose Berríos start, I always look at the curveball first and foremost. I look at the reactions he's getting from hitters on the curveball. I look at the flinches, not even just the swings, right? Like the flinches, the way that hitters are kind of, you know, gearing up for it and the way that they're reacting to the way that pitch is moving. That tells you a lot, I think, because when his curveball is moving and when he's locating it the way he needs to and he's getting the swings in and out of the zone the way he needs to, the fastball is that much more effective. But when the curveball isn't playing like that, we're seeing the fastball get hammered. And too often that fastball is missing over the heart of the plate. Those are bad misses. You can miss. You're always going to miss. But you want them to be good misses off the plate so that hitters can't do damage against those pitches. But too often for Berríos, he's missing over the heart of the plate. And at this level, a really good hitter is going to punish those pitches.
So there's been a couple up and downs in terms of what's been going on with the Blue Jays. Where does the Berríos inconsistency rank on things you're concerned about right now and what might be higher?
Well, I don't know about concern. I would say that like the four really big leverage points for the Blue Jays over the remainder of the season are George Springer's health and availability, Jose Berríos' consistency, and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette playing to their potential and like reaching their ceilings that we saw last year. Like, I think those are the four biggest levers that the Blue Jays could pull or that could go one way or another to impact results the rest of the way. Like, I think that, you know, we can sit here and discuss the merits of like Jackie Bradley Jr. versus Bradley Zimmer, and we can talk about, is Nate Pearson going? We can talk about, who's going to impact this, which minor league is Hayden Younger going to make a big impact on this bullpen down the stretch. That's all marginal to me, right? Like, I think that like the biggest swings are going to come from George Springer being available and productive, Jose Berríos being consistent, and the two young guys that are like the core of this lineup playing to their potential. If those things happen, I think the Blue Jays can have a really, really successful run over the next couple of months. But those are things that the Blue Jays need to sort out, because that's going to have the biggest, most meaningful impact on wins and losses.
Yeah, it scares me a little bit, though, when you start doing the exercise, because like, there's no doubt that the Blue Jays are talented, right? Like, there's no doubt that there's a reason people had a lot of belief in this team heading into the year, and there are some real positives, right? Like, Gausman lately has looked just phenomenal. He's just totally back into ace material Gausman. Vladdy is looking more like Vladdy. Bo just got hot on this last road trip, and I think that we all accept that he's just always going to be a bit of a streaky guy because he doesn't really draw the walks. But either way, when Bo gets hot and Vladdy's hitting this way, you feel pretty damn good. Teoscar has been, rounding back into form. There's optimistic things about this baseball team right now, right? It's not all bad, but it really does feel like There are more things that quote unquote need to go right for this team that I expected them to that don't feel like they're automatics anymore. And the one that you didn't mention, which I'm glad because I think probably more in your camp as well, but it should be brought up in all of this, is that Manoah, the numbers continue to decline a little bit, and that he is trending into territory that he's never been in before with his innings count. And I've said this multiple times, but because of his frame and because of his body type and the fact that he's such a boisterous personality, I think that we kind of treat him like he's not a young pitcher who hasn't built up a ton of innings, that we look at him like, no, this guy's a beast. He's just going to go out there and chuck and nothing's going to affect him. Where is your level of interest? I won't even put it as level of concern, but yeah, like, where are you at right now with Manoah, the innings, and yeah, just sort of some of the starts that we've seen recently from him that have been not quite Manoah-ish?
I love the framing of that, because level of interest is very high, because it's really interesting to see how the Blue Jays handle this guy for the rest of the season for a lot of the reasons that you just said, right? Like, that big innings base isn't there for a lot of reasons, right? And a lot of them that were out of his control, right? Manoah came up during the pandemic, right? Without a minor league season in 2020. He pitched in college, right? And nobody throws 200 innings in college. So he didn't even have the opportunity to build up that inning space. And then you look at him, as you alluded to, you look at the physicality of the lad. I mean, he's an absolute unit, right? And it's just going to be really interesting to see like how this plays with his body type over time and like what he looks like into September and on a mound in October in a playoff game. It's fascinating because, like, you know, teams obviously, and we all know this, don't just look at innings, right? Like, to pick just an arbitrary number and say, oh, you can only go up so many innings or such a percentage, there's no science behind that. There's no data behind that. So the Blue Jays are looking at way more advanced stuff when it comes to the effectiveness of his pitches, when it comes to his release point, how he's maintaining his delivery, the spin rates, how he's moving biomechanically, and just like what they are picking up with all the player tracking abilities that they have now. And they're going to use all that data, and that's going to influence how they deploy him over the rest of the year and how they get him to the finish line. Because you want Alec Manoa, even if he's going through a bit of a dog days thing right now, and the dog days thing for him is, oh, I only went 5 innings, 3 runs, or 6 innings, 2 runs, and I walked a bunch of dudes, but I still put my team in a good position to win. Like, the you know, that bar for him is already pretty high. But the Blue Jays want him doing better at the end of September and into October. They want him peaking at that point after running a marathon through the season, right? They want him to sprint through the finish line. So it's just how you sort of devise a strategy and a plan and how you take the feedback that's coming back to you and get a guy through that is absolutely fascinating to me from a sports science perspective. So, yeah, I'm really interested to see what happens. And I think that we'll probably see, you know, Alec Manoa's workload rejiggled a little bit here, just coming out of, you know, 2 days off where the Blue Jays have this opportunity to reset their rotation going forward. It's so rare that you get 48 hours without a game. So the Blue Jays can do some interesting stuff going forward. And you're going to keep an eye on it over the rest of the year, and we're going to see how Alec Manoa holds up. But he's one of the best guys in baseball, honestly, at making in-game adjustments and getting through days when he doesn't have his best stuff. How many times we've seen him go out there without his best two-seamer? He's hitting guys, he's walking guys, and he gets through 5 and gets through 6 and doesn't allow a bunch of runs. I mean, he's a real competitor out there. I'm really interested to see how it plays out.
So let's stay with the pitching power hour here. You just wrote an article on Mitch White's revamped slider, as you put it. What's the type of work that goes into such a significant change in like one off season?
It's interesting. He kind of did it in season, and it's something that the Dodgers wanted him to do in spring training. They wanted him to do it for a few years. He was a little resistant to it. He threw like the Michael Fulmer slider for a while, like that 88 to 90 mile per hour bullet slider that you'll see where you really prioritize velocity over movement, and then started getting hit at the big league level. And the Dodgers kind of said, hey, why don't you, you know, tweak your grip? Blake Treinen did this. It worked for him. He moved to a spike grip with his slider. Usually you see a spike grip with a curveball. But for Treinen, what really worked for him was getting that sweeping motion, that horizontal motion with the spike grip on the slider. That really kind of resuscitated his career when he was going through struggles. And the Dodgers had such success with that with Treinen. They started like implementing it developmentally throughout their system. And they went to Mitch White with it. And I said, all right, you know, Mitch White said, all right, I'll do it. And it really opened some things for him and really like made his slider play really well at the big league level. So it's just kind of interesting, you know, with Mitch White, I think the Blue Jays see a lot of upside there. They see a lot of potential to continue developing. I don't know that you're going to see that over the next 2 months. I think you'll probably see that a lot next spring, but they think his changeup can be a lot better, and they think his slider can play a lot better against lefties in different parts of the zone. Like, he's still a work in progress. He's still somebody that Blue Jays think can get better over time. So as you guys know, it's interesting to me to kind of watch those that process play out developmentally.
I know we haven't seen much of Mitch White so far, but what I've heard narrative-wise is that he's a Stripling comparison. Is that real or a little bit exaggerated?
It's easy, right? Because he's a right-handed swingman that was traded at the deadline from the Dodgers, and he kind of stepped right into Ross Stripling's role with the Blue Jays. And he's a bit of a kitchen sink guy who's going to, you know, throw up a four-seamer, a slider, a curveball, a changeup. Developed a two-seamer that he's going to use a bit more often now. So, I mean, yeah, it's very easy to reach for those comparisons. But, I think he's his own dude, right? He's a different personality than Stripling, certainly. And I think that they're going to have very different careers, and they're both going to have unique traits that make them good at the big league level. They both deserve credit for inheriting that swingman role. It's not so easy. A lot of time you see guys move towards between roles, you know, from starting to relieving in season or vice versa, and all of a sudden they come up with shoulder soreness, or all of a sudden, you know, they're not able to implement their repertoire in different roles and get outs in different situations when they're used to pitching in one role. So it's not as easy as it looks, and those two guys make it look a lot easier than it is. So credit to them.
Last question. I haven't spoken to you since you went viral. I was actually sitting. Well, I was actually at a bar with Blake, and we were watching the game. We had it up on a screen. It had no volume, and we were having a beer before we went to a concert down on the Danforth. And the two of us were watching, and then it came up, and they're talking about the At the Letters podcast, the excellent At the Letters podcast, where this week they're going to debate the between Bradley Zimmer and Jackie Bradley Jr. He just gave you that little preview. And you're just staring off into space. And I'm like, what were you thinking about? And how did you not tweet about it once? If that's me, I'm retweeting every single funny meme that gets sent my way that somebody makes. I read your column that night, and I'm thinking, he's going to do something funny with this. Nothing. No mention of it. What were you thinking about? And can you at least share like one funny meme you saw? Because I know you looked at it. I know you're not a social media guy, but you had to become aware of the traction that was getting.
Oh yeah, no, I got crushed all night, and it was hilarious. Yeah. I was laughing at everything. It was great. There's a lot of
But that's a fun crushing, right? Like that's not a brutal crushing where people are like, "Wow, you're an idiot. This is your horrible take," and it's just like, "Wow, it's just a sports opinion." That's just like that
what
was funny. Like
JD
I never saw anything
night.
Being hateful. Yeah, exactly. I saw no hate your way.
There's always hate in everything,
okay.
But there was a lot of, it happens, man. No, sometimes you just got to wear it. Stuff happens, dude. You got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep going forward. The when the edibles hit stuff was pretty funny.
Yeah.
That stuff was pretty
yeah.
good. I wish I could tell you what I was thinking, honestly. I have no idea. I mean, doesn't everybody kind of sometimes just zone out at work, right?
Yeah.
And just kind of... You're thinking about something,
yes.
And you know you don't know you're on camera, right? Like let me just take a 10-second slow pan of either of you at a random moment in your day while you don't know that that's happening. We'll see what we come away
but
with.
But it happens to me all the time when JD's on a rant. Like
exactly.
Zone out for 5-6 minutes.
Listen, we're all prone to a zone out. You got it. It was tough for you because you were mouth open. Mouth open zone out is a different zone out. You know what I mean? Like mouth open zone out is what changed the entire equation. That's everything. But yes, if you took pans of me, there would be so many ugly screenshots. You'd have no idea. Like I think I'm the least photogenic person who's ever lived, and so it's just like. Whenever I say that, it's just like, yeah, it just means you're not a good looking person. So it's not. It wouldn't be good for me. And I do think about that sometimes, where it's like. They never give you guys like a heads up, like, hey, this inning, not like you'd ever remember. I'm shocked, though, that you can't remember what you were thinking about, though, because you did seem deep in thought. Like, you really did seem like, you know, you had just gotten into a fight with your, is it fiance? Is it girlfriend? I can't remember which it is, but it's like she sent you a text and you're just staring off. You're like, God, I don't want to go home. You know, like, cause how am I going to get through something like this? Either way, it was great. I loved it. I thought there was a ton of fun ones. And I'm glad that, I hope there was a little less hate. Thanks for coming on today, buddy. This was fun.
All right, do well, everybody. Take it easy.
See you, pal. Arden's Welling of the At the Letters podcast, which, again, is great. But it does result in them getting those pans, those moments.
Also, our insider, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com.
There is... You never saw?
Well, I don't know. I didn't see it as viral as you thought.
Oh, I saw it. I didn't see it that night because, again, we saw it happen, and I think Blake shot him a text like, are you okay? And I was just laughing, and I was like, this is funny.
What night did you go to this concert? Was it a Friday night?
Yeah, I think it was last Thursday.
Yeah.
Last Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So it was last Thursday. Game's on. He's staring off into the distance, and we went to the show. I didn't think much of it. Like, I got, it's like got
this
in
is
one.
This is when you had no shirt on. And you
got... No, I had a shirt.
Oh, this is a different concert.
Yeah, I had a shirt.
Right. Sorry, there's so many that you're in the mosh pit that I forget which
one
we're
talking
about.
Yeah, but this was a hip-hop concert, so I kept my all my clothes
best,
on.
Eh?
Yep. No need to be in the mosh pit. so we go out, have a night of drinks, take the day off, not really looking at it. But then my DMs were just full of industry people who had sent me like different memes of the Arden stuff. And I laughed all morning because I was like, this is perfect. He's just... It's like his neck is craned and his mouth is open and he's staring off. And it was the entire time that the camera was on him. So, yeah, it was, I thought, hilarious. It was truly one of my favorite.
Yeah, I just went and looked it up. It's great.
Yeah, if I had to list my 5 favorite moments from the Blue Jays season, that's 4. Like, that's number 4. Anyway, let's take a break. Do we trust Berríos enough to bet on him does our mindset change now that he's at home? A lot of good pitchers this weekend. And I know that Eilish has some props.
She
likes to call fun ones.
They are
that's
fun.
Next.
They're fun ones.
Yeah, that's next on the Friday edition of Awake and Rake. It's a little weekend bonuses. Fan Morning Show. J.D. Bunkus, Eilish Forfar, Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Everybody, it's Awake and Rake. Of course, the podcast fan. Awake and Rake, of course, brought to you by Unibet. Crazy about the odds. Blake Murphy has now joined us. What's up? You bet on the Ravens last night?
The Baltimore Ravens?
No, yeah. The other Ravens.
Didn't know there was football last night. Not all
what?
The exhibition games were today.
There were
it didn't come up in the Awake and Rake. I completely slept on it, and the Jags played tonight, so I just assumed everyone was playing on the Friday.
Well, I feel bad because are you aware of the Baltimore Ravens streak?
No.
Do you know anything?
No. Dude, not about preseason football, no. Okay. If it's not fantasy relevant, I do not know about
preseason. This is how you start to
right
see
now.
Fantasy players and depth.
Oh, yeah? Was Tyler Huntley really good as a backup
last
night?
Absolutely
is that who we're
stunning.
Handcuffing Lamar Jackson to?
Yes.
Last night, the Baltimore Ravens won their 23rd preseason game in a row. They have not lost a preseason game since 2015. I made this point earlier, but even if they were trying, this is impressive. This is, to me, like, you're our stats guy. So you tell me if I'm wrong, but basically these games are all coin tosses, right? Like if we look at Unibet today and we go and we look at preseason football game, the Ravens have never been favored by a touchdown in a preseason game. That doesn't happen. I want to see, I'm just going to scan here. Like what's find the longest odds that
minus
you
143
can get.
For the
minus 143
Niners.
Minus 140 freaking three. 23 times in a row. This has got to be one of the most impressive statistical anomalies, I'm not even kidding, in sports history. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. It's like Leicester City will always be number one, right? Winning the Premier League. That's just always going to be the one where it was like the odds at the very beginning of the season were like, if you put down $5, you were rich. You know, you're a millionaire. You just like, you struck gold. They were a nobody, nothing expectation team, and they went on to win the Prem. This is the other thing that I think about now. Like, it's outrageous. 2015, it's been 7 years of not losing any preseason games. Like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant, but I needed to bring it up with the stats guy because it's just like, this is my one big number for you today. It's,
yeah.
I'm flipping it on
I've
you.
Well, I've got a very big number for you. So I just ran a binomial distribution.
There we go.
So we have to make a little bit of an assumption that these are independent events. Yeah. Which means they're not related to each other. So 23 straight games at a minus 140 money line, that's a 58% implied probability. So even if they were minus 140 favorites for all 23 of those
which
games.
Which they have not.
I know, but I'm saying. Yeah. So this is the
very
conservative estimate.
Yeah, exactly. The most conservative estimate.
It would happen randomly once every 276,157 times. The chances are one in 276,000 of that occurring randomly.
Yeah.
That's why you would win the Excel spreadsheet games.
Honestly. Oh, no, that's a simple formula. That's a
simple
equals
binomial distribution.
Yeah, that's
God.
And you know if we went full 50-50 instead of 58%, it's like one in 8.4 million.
You know, I oftentimes, I like conversing with Blake, and we talk about stuff off air too. That's like, you know, we'll talk a little politics. We'll talk about music. We'll talk about sports. And I feel like there's a lot of, you know, I can hang with Blake on a lot of conversations, socioeconomic issues, whatever, right? Like, and then I am always reminded that, like, his brain also has math, and it is not fair. It's like, it's such a rude thing to do, because normally a lot of people, like a lot of people who can converse on a wide variety of topics, you put like, hey, we need a 20% tip on a $100 bill, and people are like, I don't know what to do here. It's like, that's what exactly is the number? I'm not really sure. It's not fair. So thanks for that, Blake. What did you, binomial equation? Thank you for that.
Binomial distribution, yeah.
Binomial distribution. We've distributed
basically, it's
it.
A way of yeah. doing you quick formula of like, if you flip the coin 23 times in a row, what are the odds it would come up 23 heads?
Yeah. And we figure that out.
Not a lot.
Not very many times. Okay, so preseason football back at it tonight. There are 5 games, including Ailish's Detroit Lions and Blake Murphy's Jacksonville Jaguars.
Jaguars up against Tim's bizarro pick for league pass rankings of the Browns.
Yeah, I think that I told him that in week two, he's going to regret that pick of like watching the Browns in week two with, I can't remember. I think their quarterback this year is going to be Jacoby Brissett. Maybe I got that wrong, but again, it's just like a very, here's what I'm not doing. Paying much attention to Browns camp, because I actually, if I did league pass rankings, they'd be dead last. Like they're the least compelling team to me in terms of what I want to see on the field. And I don't even want to be reminded that they existed, quite frankly, this year, because they're just
neither the Browns fans. So you have that in common with them.
Exactly. It sucks. And, you know, I used to have fun dunking on Browns fans last year because I saw the Leafs fan in Browns fans, you know, and I saw myself in them. And so when they got high on their horse, I went, get down from that horse. Like, you've done nothing to deserve being up on this horse right now. Now it's just like not even fun whatsoever. But actually, you know what? Let me just ask you that quickly before we do the Wick and Rick picks, or we talk a little bit about preseason football. Did you see the picks?
No,
I can tell you.
I haven't seen the graphic yet. I only knew the. I caught a little bit of the interview.
Yep.
Do you want to hear them?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ailish picked Bills, Chargers, and Bengals.
Ooh.
JD picked
Bills and Chargers is a great one too.
JD picked Broncos, Chiefs, and Niners. And Tim picked Packers, Browns, and Bucks.
All right. Sweet. I don't even have to pick in the first couple rounds. I still get my Raiders and my Jaguars.
That's
unbelievable.
Right. Raiders were like my backup.
Do think the Raiders will be semi-interesting.
They will.
Yeah.
Our bonus picks involved the Raiders.
Did someone pick Eagles?
No. So we did two bonus picks after Tim left. And Ailish took the Raiders and the
Lions as a little fun one, you know, like obviously
I
not
took
real.
I took the Eagles and Ravens as my bonus picks. And I'm highly compelled by them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the Ravens, you have the Lamar Jackson factor. And if he were to get hurt, you have the, is Tyler Huntley like really, really good factor? And then, the Eagles were the first team that came to mind as a not picked team, Eagles and Raiders. So
basically my theory for this was, you know, who's having the kind of like all in narrative season to an extent. And so like, for me, it's like, this is the Russell Wilson year where it's like, can Russ cook? Will he take this team over the top and turn them into contenders? And then the rest of the team is good too. Right. New coach, division, whatever. With the Chiefs, I made the parallel again to the Warriors where it's like KD leaves and that's Tyreek, even though, obviously it's not a perfect one, but there's just the bloom is off the rose a little bit with the Chiefs after that choke and after the loss of Tyreek, and now they brought in a bunch of random guys. Kelsey's 33 years old. We literally 2 years ago said, are these guys going to win more Super Bowls than Tom Brady at 6? And now it feels like, hey, will they get another Super Bowl? Yeah, I think most people would pick that, but 2? I don't know. And then the Niners, it feels like all in on Shanahan, because if they blow it this year and they have this incredibly talented roster, but the quarterback can't figure it out, they're in trouble. But the Ravens, it feels the same way, where it's like, this is the year where I feel like everybody kind of makes more of their mind up on Lamar Jackson. Like, if he fails again, if he can't get it done in the playoffs, if he doesn't evolve to a degree as a passing quarterback, I think it's going to be very, very interesting, because his contract is also needs to get done. And like, he's a rushing QB. He'll probably get his money, but this is just like, this is an astounding roll of the dice that this guy is taking right now. And yeah, for him to kind of put it out there that he's going to like this is you, like we do Fred VanVleet, bet on yourself. It's like, no, this is the bet on yourself season. This is like the all-time bet on yourself season, what Lamar Jackson is doing right now, where his receiver group is headlined by a bunch of young guys. His offensive line is still working their way back from some injuries, and he is entering a year without a contract extension. It's like, yeah, for a rushing quarterback, it's pretty wild.
Yep. And one of my best friends is a big Ravens fan, and then the so the benefit there is if they do poorly, you just get to jab and jab and jab and poke at it, because
so good.
It's been for a franchise that's pretty well run and pretty exciting. There's been a lot to poke at fans for. It's almost a worse spot to be in than the Jaguars, who none of my friends ever message me about, because who's watching the Jaguars?
No, and honestly, it feels bad as someone who does the odd time message you about the Jaguars. Like, what did I send you the other day? I sent you some DM from camp. There was some story, and it was it was Christian Kirk.
Christian Kirk got hurt, but he
was fine.
Was
banged up. He was fine, but I still sent it to you, and it's like, and you, I think your response was just like cool, and I felt bad. I felt like I was bullying you. You know, it's just like it's not cool to pull. Cowboys fans, they do it to themselves, right? It's just you know, you welcome it on, because every year you go, it's the Cowboys year, and it's there's so many people around. It's why it's fun to root against the Leafs too. It's why I get again the Leafs thing, but the Jags, it's just no
fun. Speaking of Jags, by the way, if you were to do a reminder, and we've had other people on to say this as much as well. The thing you're looking at, early preseason football betting, you want good backup quarterback play.
Yeah.
Gardner Minshew will probably play most of the game for the Eagles. That might be, of the five games tonight, that's the backup quarterback situation I'm probably most solid in. I don't know that the Niners would play Garoppolo a lot. And even if they do, won't. He's up against.
They won't
Jordan
play Garoppolo Love. At all. They will not play him. It will and be whoever Love the on third the other string side, guy so is right now.
I think Minshew's maybe your best bet if you're going with the best backup quarterback is the best bet.
The only thing is that a lot of times in these games they don't even put in the backup quarterback. They go with the third string guy, and so you could very well end up with Carson Strong.
But we're not far out, right? Like, it's only the first preseason game, but like we're what, 3 weeks out? Three and a half weeks out?
Yeah. Usually I just bet a lot of dogs on preseason and I just have fun with it.
No,
I
don't take it. It's nothing. Everything's like, I think 2.5 is the longest line tonight.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But that's it. I'll just bet a couple of coin flips and just sit there and have fun. Whatever the NFL Network featured game is always gets a little a shekel or two from me. But outside of that, I just bet the Ravens in earnest, and that's it. Ravens preseason is the dynasty. It's the dynasty. It's like there's no other way to describe it. Like, again, what's the odds of the Patriots winning, you know, those five Super Bowls? Probably less than the 23 straight preseason wins for the Baltimore Ravens. Okay, so Blue Jays back in action tonight. Berríos on the bump. Blake Murphy, a believer that, hey, it's just an aberration, home and away. I guess, like, when it comes to your betting, does that make you less likely to bet on Berríos? Because I think that's kind of the way that I would be understanding that. If you do not back the idea that he's just much better at home, or that there's a reason for that, then it just must kind of mean that maybe tonight is a stay-away game for you when it comes to betting on or against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, I don't – so this is my thing with the Berríos home-away splits is and I've said this on other shows as well, is that until there's a compelling explanation as to why this is occurring and why it never occurred at other points in his career and why he can go back to a place like Minnesota that was home for so long and struggle there now that he's the away pitcher, I need a more compelling reason for that stuff. And he does have home-away splits for, like, his whole career too, but they're not – nearly as significant. Like, it's pretty inflated by this year and the pandemic year. So I just need a more compelling explanation as to why this is happening. You know, I'd give him maybe 0.75 of ERA better at home, because a lot of starting pitchers are like that. But not to this extreme. Like, I don't think he's an ace at home and unpitchable on the road.
Okay. So do you like tonight's line?
No. -167 against a team that's basically dead even with you in the standings and has a pitcher who's not as good as Berríos but has been better than Berríos this year. -167 has given up a little too much.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to find a Blue Jays line that you like for
maybe Sunday, depending on who starts, because you're up against Shane Bieber, but then you're also up against Shane Bieber.
These two teams have been remarkably similar lately. Like, I was looking at just like their last month, right? And just, hey, comparing the two of them in terms of what they've done offensively. And it's like, they profile similarly. they've done a lot of similar things. And now if you look at them in terms of when we do the whole, well, the, your best three pitchers against the best three, this like feels very much like a playoff series. Like it really does. And it feels like it could be a potential playoff series for the Toronto Blue Jays. And it's like, this feels very much like a preview where you could be at home. You could end up with the Toronto Blue Jays three guys that are going to pitch over the next couple of days and the exact same three that are going to pitch for Cleveland. So I'm expecting some intense games, and with some intensity, I usually lean to a little bit lower scoring. It's tough to right now, again, have a remarkable amount of faith in Jose Berríos, but I will say that I do have, if I have one play tonight on the Blue Jays, it's a lean towards the under 8.5.
Ailish, one thing to note for you with your total bases props, the three starters we'll see from Cleveland this weekend, none of them walk anyone. So you're not going to get, you're less likely to get cheaped out with a walk that doesn't count as a total base. It's these guys will let you get some contact in.
So I agree with your comments on tonight being a tough one to bet. I am going to the game, so I have to find something to bet on.
Yeah, tis the rules.
I like Matt Chapman lately. Finally, yeah. Unibet has provided Matt Chapman in the betting odds. I look every day, and they've been secretly keeping him off the books because they know they're going to lose money. But today, he's there. I like his home run. Plus 460 is not really that much, but I could see it. He's not on total bases because they know they're going to lose money. But he is in run scored, just to get one run scored, plus 132 to get over a one, or to get one hit. Minus 155, not great value, but I want to bet on something at the game tonight, and I like how Matt Chapman's been playing lately. Other than that, there's not much that I want to bet tonight for the Toronto Blue Jays. I'd like to just enjoy watching. I have no idea how Berríos is going to do. I'm going to be rooting for him, but I just don't feel confident enough to put money on it until I see another decent start from him. But yeah, I'm going to be in on the Matt Chapman props tonight.
Okay. So is that your official Wake and Rake pick?
It is not, no.
Okay. What is your Wake and Rake pick for this evening?
There's a couple things that I like. Both of the things I like don't have numbers up right now, which is tough. I really like Carlos Rodon tonight. He's playing a bad team. The Pirates are not very good, really, especially against left-handed pitchers. I would like to bet his over in strikeouts, but it's not up yet. I'm not going to give a bet that is not up. I expect it to be at 7.5. I would bet that. That's just a free bonus bet for the listeners, for the Simps. What I am going to do is I'm going to go to tennis because I haven't put a tennis bet in yet in the Wake and Rake, and I lost yesterday. Remember when I said there's no way these guys get a run?
They just got the one, but yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. I should have bet the first three under is what I really should have done, but whatever. Can't
I feel
back
like the show is red hot with tennis. From my understanding of Blake winning a tennis bet while I was gone, I know you won with a Bianca pick.
I did win with Bianca pick.
Yeah, so...
Okay, so I'm going to go with today's early game, WTA. You got Coco Gauff versus Simona Halep. I'm just going to go straight up Simona Halep to win. I think she's going to win in straight sets, but I don't want to put that risk in the air. She's just been a better player. She's consistent. She's 3-0 against Coco. Coco's had a rougher tournament. She just played her longest game ever last night, and she went to three, I think went into tiebreakers as well. So she's tired. Simona is a way better player, in my opinion. She's a former world number one, and she's had a better tournament. So I'm just going to go straight up on the money line, Simona Halep over Coco. It's a little bit heavier in terms of minus 167, but I need a win, and I want to go to tennis, so let's do that.
Okay, that is a neater winner. That right there is fits the category.
I was gonna do this is still a possibility if you want to.
No. This is your Wake and Rake pick. Okay. It's fine. It fits
I'm just saying you could do her in straight sets plus 148.
No. This is the bet. The bet is to win on the money line. This is a parlay pick. I like this pick. Let's try to get a W. That's what this is all about. I am going to the National League.
Are you going Braves Marlins first five under?
No.
Oh, that's right. That's the one I had circled for you.
You know anything?
Well, no, I'm actually a little bummed out because this line moved a good chunk from where I had originally seen it, and now I'm kind of second-guessing it. But Jordan Montgomery is pitching tonight for St. Louis. a big acquisition for them. A guy that has pitched for the Yankees. I think this is a bigger game. I really like the Cardinals tonight. If you just look at St. Louis's track record against Eric Lauer, Nolan Arenado has 17 at-bats against him, and he's hitting 300. They just have a lot of guys that have done just okay against him, but overall, this is the big differentiator for me. Over the last month, St. Louis against lefties, of which Lauer is, they've OPS'd 857. That's fourth best in all of baseball. They're getting on base like almost 40% of the time against lefties. Like, they have been mashing them the last month. Meanwhile, Milwaukee has been very inflated against righties. You look at their track record, and it has not been so sterling. It's a 670 OPS. It's just there's been a big difference between these two teams when it comes to hitting on that side of the plate. So I just think that I'm going to go with a big-name pitcher who I know, who's having a good season, who was acquired in a trade, against a guy that doesn't have a great track record against the team's best player in St. Louis, or I shouldn't say best, but second-best player in St. Louis. And, yeah, I just don't. I think that what's the minus 1.5 here? This is a bit of a
plus 130.
Yeah, whatever. I'll go up to plus 130. I don't want to have us with two big minuses in our parlay today. I feel like that's reserved for one person a parlay. So I'm going to go with the plus 130 and lay the 1.5. And yeah, put my faith in the Cardinals at home. Blake.
Very interested to see how Paul Goldschmidt does in that game. He's only 2-for-11 against Eric Lauer, but he also has 4 walks. And is obviously like the lefty masher to end all lefty mashers this year.
Exactly.
Almost a 300 WRC plus against lefties, which is ludicrous. So he's triple an average player's offense. Yeah, that was one I had circled as well. I had looked at, you know, the Cards 5-inning line as well, but that bullpen's solid enough that I don't think you worry about it too much. I am going to, this is a tie. It's a little early for standings hedges, but I like the Mariners tonight. I like them in minus half a run on the 5-inning line. So they've got to be ahead. Ty doesn't get you a push. It's minus 117. It's George Kirby on the mound up against Texas. Hearn is throwing for Texas, which if you've watched Taylor Hearn, is nothing to worry about whatsoever. 5.14 ERA, underlying metrics that back that up. So pretty straightforward. Mariners have been very, very good lately. They've been very, very good keeping runs off the board. Huge advantage in starting pitcher. And if you give up half a run, you can get it at almost even money.
Well, I've got Josh Spores going for the Rangers, which would make your bet even better because Spores' ERA is even worse.
Yeah.
And it's a very small sample size, but I'm looking at this right now tonight. Yes, like pretty immediate middling results for the Rangers against George Kirby. But yeah, Spores possibly worse. So maybe your bet you like it even more. Spores.
Spores.
That's not going on the top name. That's not going on our top names draft that we have.
Where's
here. So, yeah.
Jansen Junk lately?
Well, he's
probably back in the minors.
Well,
that guy
I missed that guy.
Trashed last time JD bet on him.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what do I say? You ride the wave, you know? Like, you ride the betting waves. It's like a craps table. Like, you throw it when you're hot. Like, I've never been great at walking away. I'll be honest.
He's like, back in AAA Salt Lake. If you want to play some Pacific Coast League betting lines, there
you go. What's their name, Austin? Salt Lake what?
I don't know.
Because we talked about, all the fun minor league names today.
Yeah. Ailish gave
the
us
Salt Lake Bees.
One.
See, that's not awesome. Very... Come on. The Bees. The Bees' knees.
Yeah. And their logo is just a bee. Cute little bee holding the bat.
That's great. I mean, we need to get more creative.
The only thing I like for the Bees is if you're the closer, you get to be Save the Bees. And I like
that's awesome. See?
Yeah, Save the Bees. God, you got to be careful around the bees now. Like, you see a bee now, and you're like, oh, it's endangered.
Yeah.
I got stung by one a couple weeks ago. I had been stung by a bee.
No way. A bee?
Kid. Yeah.
How did you get stung by a bee?
Doing?
Because I was home, and I was bringing my parents' recycle bins up from the curb, and I guess when they had turned the recycle bins upside down, the garbage people, there was a bee inside. So I lift the recycle bins, and there's a bee in there, and it stung me because it didn't know what was going on.
But a bee, not a wasp.
Yeah, I mean,
no
I
way.
Mean, I
a bumblebee.
Like,
a bumblebee
I didn't,
stung you.
Examine it, but yeah, something stung me.
No, there's no way it was a bumblebee.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. A bumblebee stinging you. That bee died. We're sad. You're a bee killer. Like, if a wasp stings you, you're a victim. If a bee stings you, then you're a murderer. Like, you've for her killed an endangered animal. That's what I'm saying. No,
I mean, bees. I didn't get a good look at it. I just got stung.
I hope it was a wasp.
I hope it was a wasp.
I hope
too.
It was a
Please, wasp.
Too.
Wasp, wasp, wasp. All right. May we avoid wasp bites, and may the bees stay safe. Have a great weekend, everybody. JD Blick and Ailish, subscribe to the podcast, follow on the socials. We'll talk to you next week.